Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join with us. And of course, you can get on toll free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Get you on the air with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Certainly a lot of stuff happening in the world today. I guess the financial markets in the East are going to be opening up here shortly if they haven't already. And a lot of us people are speculating a meltdown on the Eastern Asian financial markets. And of course, European following suit and the American following suit when they start opening. But also, we just see crises around the world, but as a Bible-believing Christian, you shouldn't let it get you too worried. You shouldn't let it get you too down, because it's just like reading in a good mystery book. Sometime, if you read the end, you know how it all turns out, and we've got the end of the Bible. We've been studying Revelation here on Sunday morning at 10 in our 11 o'clock preaching hour at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And, looking at what's happening in the world today, studying the book of Revelation, and also during our 10 o'clock Bible study time, we've been studying the history of Israel. Now we're into the future of Israel. And let me tell you, it's reassuring when you see the things that are happening in the world around us. Let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we don't need to be like others who are worried and fearful and anxious about what's happening. As we have the Bible that you've given to us, and we have the end of the book to read and study, and we can know how things are going to turn out in the end. And so it should give us assurance, it should give us confidence, it should give us peace, and also we ought to rejoice knowing that we soon will have a place in heaven with you. But in the meanwhile, Lord, help us to be faithful to do the work that you've given us to do. Bless the program tonight. Help us to be a witness and testimony to people. Help us to point people to Christ, Lord. If there's one listening that needs to put their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we do pray the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart tonight, bring them under conviction of their sin, help them to see and understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood to pay for our sins. He was buried and rose again the third day, victorious over sin and death. And as the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, I know that we have an opportunity. Bless now the opportunity you've given us, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, looking at a number of things happening in the world today and studying at church, we've been looking at what looks like some dire things. For instance, in Revelation chapter 6, where we were at today with the opening of the seven sealed book, and you can look at the population of the world being about 7 billion people right now. And in Revelation chapter 6, you can see that at one point here on the, I think it's the fourth seal, thereabouts, a quarter of the world's population. This is the fourth seal here, and indicates that a fourth part of the earth is going to die, a fourth part of the world's population. And that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And we need to be aware that this time period of the tribulation, even the beginning of it, is not going to be a pleasant time to be alive. But we don't have to be there. The Bible talks about the catching away of the believers to be caught up into heaven, to be with the Lord prior to the tribulation period. And that's one of the reasons for our program. A lot of people don't come into our church. They've got their own churches, or they're too far away, whatever the case may be. We even know that through the the modern day technology, the internet and everything like that, our program even gets into other countries. And so not everybody that listens to the program is ever going to have a chance to visit our church. But through programs like Late Night Live with Pastor Al, as well as our Friday afternoon program, Live with Pastor Al, every Friday at 1:30 right here on this very same station, we have opportunity to try to reach out through the medium of radio, through the internet, to be able to reach people with the gospel message, to tell people about Christ and what how he purchased our salvation, and how we can have a relationship with God, know that our sins are forgiven. And certainly a lot of people don't even want to admit that they're a sinner, but when people come to the realization that we've sinned and disobeyed God, that we've sinned against the holy God, and that no matter how good we think we might be, the Bible says all our righteousness is as filthy rags. And when we are willing to turn from our sin and instead we look to Christ and we realize that Jesus Christ, as the Bible presents him and teaches us, that he is literally God manifest in the flesh, who willingly went to the cross where he shed his blood to pay for our sins and make a way possible that we can have the forgiveness of sin and the promise of a home in heaven. And when we realize that, and we believe that he did that to pay for our sin, we accept that as the only payment possible. Your good works, your good name, your church, your home, none of that stuff, your bank account, none of that stuff's going to get you into heaven, only what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. And we want to get that message out. We want to help people to understand that. And then when people trust Christ as our Savior, you know, people's Christian walk has only just begun. There's a lot more to the Christian life than just getting saved and then sitting around waiting for God to call for us. We have an opportunity to glorify God through our good works. We have an opportunity to be a witness to others. We have an opportunity to spread the message of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that's the power of God unto salvation. And that's for sure. That's the message that tells about how we get saved, how the sins are forgiven, and how we know we have a home in heaven beyond any shadow of a doubt. But then, of course, we can tell people how to live and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and to teach you, and how to live a life that's pleasing and honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's part of our responsibility through this program, and we thank God for that opportunity. So at any rate, we can help point people to Christ as their Savior. We also hope we can help people understand the message of the Bible. And so that's why we say that you can give us a call with questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And of course, those telephone numbers are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Get you on the air toll-free. If you're listening, you can give us a call, and we'd love to hear from you here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I was looking at some things happening, and every once in a while, stories like this just catch my eye. You know, I guess I'll go ahead and say the sheer stupidity of it. I wanted to say silliness of it, but it's the sheer stupidity of this. Virginia School Board votes to remove 10 commandments from schools, according to Associated Press. And a recent article dated on the 1st of June said that the Giles County School Board has voted to remove a copy of the 10 commandments from the wall of a school. Now you say, well, ho-hum, you know, that happens all the time. What's the big deal? Well, come on to this a little bit more here. The American Civil Liberties Union of Virginia sued on behalf of a student to remove the Ten Commandments from the Narrows High School wall, claiming that it violates the First Amendment's protection against government endorsement of religion. And so the case was then sent into mediation. And the thing here, the American Civil Liberties Union sued on behalf of a student. I'm going to assume that means one student. Now, this Ten Commandments had been on the wall, hadn't been on the wall, I don't think, for a huge length of time. I'd only been on there, I guess, since last June, about a year ago. And this one student took offense. Not sure what endorsement of religion was happening with the Ten Commandments. I imagine that this student walked by and was becoming convicted that he had to become an Orthodox Jew. because after all, Moses was a Jew, and I suppose if he was walking around today, people would have consider him an Orthodox Jew. And I happen to think that Moses, if he was around today, would recognize who the Messiah is, and he would be a born-again, Bible-believing, fundamentalist Christian. But Moses in the Bible is certainly not a Reformed Jew or a conservative Jew. He would be more consistent with that of an Orthodox Jew. And so I guess this student walking around in this high school in Roanoke, Virginia, Giles County, was convinced that this Ten Commandments on the wall of the school was trying to pressure him to become an Orthodox Jew. You say, wait, Pastor Al, that's not what they were worried about. They thought it was going to make him become a Christian. He must have been a non-Christian. And if that's the case, why? Why would it make him become a Christian? The Ten Commandments is in the Torah. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the five books of Moses. It's written, as I said, it's in the books of Moses, and God used Moses to record it. So if the Ten Commandments on the wall is going to make anybody in any religion, I would think that Orthodox Judaism would get the first stab at it. And so, but at any rate, that's one of the things that I think these sorts of suits are stupid, because all the guy has to do is look at it. Walking by and seeing on the board some advertisement for let's say the tennis team is not going to make me become a tennis player. You know, I mean, that's probably a weak analogy, but the fact of the matter is, we see stuff on walls all the time. And the Ten Commandments is on the walls of all sorts of government buildings, on the walls of the Supreme Court. It's on the doors of the Supreme Court. Moses is pictured with the Ten Commandments in his hands on the outside of the building that the Supreme Court meets in. It's all over the place, and we recognize what it teaches. But the Roanoke Times reported that the board voted unanimously to take down the display of the Ten Commandments. They voted, obviously, because they were afraid that the American Civil Liberties Union was going to force them to spend a lot of money, and money being tight, you know, they didn't want to get involved in a fight over this type of a thing. It was easier just to remove them. Well, they didn't remove them exactly. And I thought this article was as silly enough as it was, but this is what gets me. They removed the Ten Commandments, and this is what they replaced them with. They replaced the Ten Commandments on the wall of this public high school in Narrows High School there in Virginia with a copy of a page from a history textbook that mentions the Ten Commandments in conjunction with American government and morality. Okay. That sounds good. So you can't have the Ten Commandments themselves there, but they went to a history textbook, probably from in the school, and they found a page, which is amazing that in a public high school in the United States of America, they actually mentioned the Ten Commandments in conjunction with American government and morality. They photocopied the page, and they stuck that up on the wall. So what's next? Copyright infringement? I guess that might be the next thing that we might see there. But, we as fundamentalist Christians are told all the time, if you don't like it, you don't have to look at it. If you don't like it, you can turn the channel. If you don't like it, you don't have to listen to it. And Ten Commandments have been on the walls of public schools throughout our country's history. And it's a good reminder of something that's on every coin, that American coin that you might have in your pocket or on your nightstand or whatever right now, and that's the national motto, In God We Trust. And that's the real thing that the ACLU did not like, is a reminder that there's a God who is greater than us, and that we have a relationship with Him. Well, that's one good story that I found interesting, and you need to pray for our public schools. I mean, not everybody has the ability to go to Christian school. Not everybody has the ability to homeschool, and not everybody has the good fortune to be in a public school district that is not that does not have animosity towards teaching the history of our country and dealing fairly with Christianity, Judaism, and things of that nature, and how they've influenced our laws, how they've influenced our country. So pray for our public schools. Of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight. If you've got a comment, question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you. Another related to the school issue in Louisiana, they have embarked on an experiment, and this is one of the reasons that we have a union of independent states. It's not a one monolithic government, federal government, where each state is sort of a department of the federal government. The states are united together, and the founding fathers' desire was that many of the things that take place in our country be handled on the state level. And Louisiana has decided that starting this fall, they're going to begin making vouchers available at covering the full cost of tuition at more than 120 private schools across Louisiana. And of course, this article here by Reuters, they're not real happy with this. And they're talking about how some of these might go to schools that are run by churches. And yeah, it's kind of amazing. I remember when my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, there was a church there, and my wife had the privilege of teaching there for one of the school years. But in a church school on the island of American Samoa, they had using teachers that did not have the training that the public schools on the island had. They were consistently putting out students with A's and B averages, and their students that were getting C's and D's would go to the public school after eighth grade many times. They would go to the public school for high school, and they had a very small high school at that time at the church-based school. And in the public school, these C and D students would become all of a sudden C and B students, and the C and B students would become B and A students, and the B students, of course, would become straight A students in the public schools. And oftentimes, it wasn't uncommon for the public high schools that their valedictorians and salutarians, several of them from the several high schools, would be actual graduates from the first through eighth grade at this church school. And so I would say they actually did pretty good. Oftentimes, many church schools and the curriculums that they're using, students actually test at a half a grade to a grade and a half higher than complementary private schools. And so I think it's a good investment. But the real reason with this problem here, I think, comes down to the fact that the teachers' union there it was upset over the competition, I guess you could say. President, I believe it was, of the Louisiana Federation of Teachers says because it's private, it's considered to be inherently better, but from a consumer perspective, it's buyer beware. And the other thing that they were saddened to hear and they were upset about is that people were actually interspersing Bible verses along with their lessons. And well, I mean, it's a church-based school. I mean, what's wrong with that? As long as they're teaching people to read and write and do the skills that they need to do. Certainly public schools weren't doing that much better. A lot of kids in the Louisiana public schools, the state said that two-thirds of the students cannot read or do math at a grade level, half will drop out before they graduate from high school. And so he said, given that track record, it's worth spending a portion of the roughly $3.5 billion a year that Louisiana spends on education to private schools that may have developed different ways to reach kids. And a wants parents to have that choice. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. Get you on the air with us here tonight. And toll free, if you're listening, you can give us a call. We'd love to hear from you and about your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And you can get on here with us tonight. We'd love to hear from you. Want to mention a couple other things that are happening. Mention usually after the break, and I know sometimes that some people don't keep with the program after the 11:30 point. People get tired and they go to sleep, things like that. But wanted to mention, we have a seminar, Engaging Muslims with the Gospel, coming up at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, June the 22nd through the 24th. And Tom Wallace is going to be speaking, and he's presenting a presentation on June the 22nd and 23rd. That's a Friday and Saturday, and he will be speaking on Friday the 22nd, 7 to 9 p.m., and on Saturday the 23rd from 3 to 5 p.m., and it's a four-hour seminar, Engaging Muslims with the Gospel. And they should have a workbook available for that as well. And he will be with us during that time. And then he will also be preaching on similar subjects, dealing with Islam and the relationship to Christianity and reaching Muslims with the Gospel and related topics on June the 24th, that Sunday, at the Bible Baptist Church, and our morning service at 11 o'clock and our evening service at 6 p.m. And all of those services, all of those meetings are going to be at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, which is located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. That's Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. And that's located right where Interstate 77 and Interstate 80, the Ohio Turnpike, intersect. And we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to go, you can give us a call at the Bible Baptist Church, 330-659-6561. And if you'd just like to mention that you're coming, that would be appreciated so we can know how many people to plan for. There's no cost. We will have a love offering at some point during the seminar to help cover some of the costs, but there's no cost. You can come. And if the information is a blessing and a help to you, we'd love to have you there. And if you're enjoying the program and can come out and meet us, we'd love to see you. If you can't make it to the four-hour seminar on June the 22nd and 23rd, we'd love to see you on Sunday the 24th during the morning and evening services at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. So I hope you'll make that mark that down in your calendar, make a note of that, and maybe we'll get a chance to see you there. Well, again, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And it just seems like tonight's one of those slow nights. It's kind of a warm evening out there. I think it was about 68 degrees when we walked into the studio here in Northeast Ohio, and a full moon out there, and just kind of a nice night, really. A little bit of a breeze coming up. I think there's some rain coming in various parts, but not like out in Tennessee. Boy, there's some storms, I guess, hitting in the Memphis area there at the western end of the state, but fortunately, right here, it's kind of nice out. If you're out driving about, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673, with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And if you call in right now, we may have to hold you over till after the break, but we'll still get you on. And we certainly got a chance to get you on a little bit before the break here. And I think we've got somebody calling in right now, and we'll get you on here in just a moment, I believe. And let's see, who do we got here? I believe we've got John in Cleveland calling in. And John, are you there?
Yes, hello. How are you tonight?
Hi, good evening. Doing well. How are you doing?
All right. You're talking about the Ten Commandments.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering if you could explain the second one.
All right. Let's go over here to Exodus. And we'll get into the Ten Commandments here. Exodus chapter 20. Now, let me just look up something here real quick. And here in Exodus chapter 20, the first commandment, of course, Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse number 3, we have, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And that's obvious. That doesn't need a whole lot of explanation. There's only one God, and we shouldn't put any gods in front of him, or wouldn't make anything a god instead of him. And then the second commandment, verse number 4, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third, fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." That's the second commandment. The second commandment basically is not is related to the first commandment. The first commandment is not to have any other gods before the one and only true God. The second commandment is not to make false images, not to bow down before images and worship images. And these are images, idolatrous images, images of idols, of false gods. And we see other warnings in the scripture about people who make idols. You know, I'm trying to think where the one is offhand where the guy cuts down a piece of wood and he uses it to make a fire, and on the fire he fixes some food, and then he takes the unburned part of the log out of the fire and he cleans it up, carves it a little bit.
That's in Jeremiah.
Huh?
That's in Jeremiah.
Yeah, I believe you're right. And he plates it with metal and all that, and then he bows down before it and says, "You're my God, you made me." No, the God didn't make him. He made that.
I had a further question, if you can hold me over.
Oh, yes, sir, yes, sir. And that's the second commandment there, not to make idols and worship them. Well, stick with us. We got another half hour, and we'd love to hear from you here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we're live here in the studios, Independence, Ohio. Be with you here until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us, and we mentioned from time to time, if you have trouble getting us on the air, you can always go to the radio station's website at whkwradio.com. That's whkwradio.com. It streams live on there, and we know that we have people who listen on the internet, and certainly we welcome you. And also, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I am the pastor. Certainly invite you to visit us there. As I mentioned previously, we're currently looking at the prophecies regarding Israel during our 10 o'clock Bible study on Sunday morning, and I'm preaching through the book of Revelation at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and preaching through 2 Kings on Sunday night at 6 p.m., and then each Friday night we have an open-ended Bible study where you bring the questions, just like here in the program, each Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. All of those meetings are at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, where we meet at 5171 Brecksville Road, and certainly invite you to come visit us there. Are also brought to you tonight, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, brought to you tonight by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road in North Royalton, Ohio. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can call Frank's Antiques in North Royalton at 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. And tell Frank that you heard about Frank's Antiques in North Royalton right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And of course, I remind you that we have our new Friday afternoon program, Friday afternoons, 1:30 to 2 p.m., and right here on 1220 The Word, and we'd love to hear from you there as well. Well, you can give us a call, as I said, 888-677-9673 with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. We were talking with John before the break, and John, are you still with us?
Yes.
Hey, welcome back. And you said you had another question.
Yes, I know that a lot of the fundamentalists consider the founding fathers to be like godlike figures.
I don't.
I was wondering, like, if in a school, instead of having the Ten Commandments there, if the school had a replica of the Statue of Liberty there, would that be going against the Second Commandment?
Well, the Statue of Liberty is not making a graven image and falling down before it and worshiping it. If the purpose was to fall down and worship it, yeah, that would be against the Second Commandment. And likewise, if you wanted to make a statue of George Washington or Benjamin Franklin or Thomas Jefferson, fall down and worship it, that would definitely be against the Ten Commandments as well. I really don't know where you get the idea that fundamentalists, I think I know a thing or two about fundamentalists and fundamental Bible-believing Baptists, being one and having been one most of my life. I've never looked at these people as gods. They're flawed human beings with a sin nature, just like you and I, who needed a Savior. Some of them are born-again Christians. Some of them I'll see in heaven. Some of them, such as Thomas Jefferson, were deists. I don't believe were ever saved. I don't expect to see Thomas Jefferson in heaven unless he got saved there at the end of his life. But some of them, such as George Washington. George Washington was baptized during the Revolutionary War upon his profession of faith in Christ as his personal Lord and Savior by John Gano, a Baptist chaplain that served George Washington and his troops. And so some of them are born-again Christians and some of them are not, but they're flawed human beings just like you and I are.
I know that George Washington was a Freemason. Do you feel that because he was a...
that's an area that we could spend probably more time on sometime. But George Washington, as to whether or not he's a Freemason, there's a growing body of evidence that that's actually made up.
Really?
One of the reasons that that was believed to have been made up was to actually...
I've got a picture with his apron on.
Yeah, I know, and a lot of this stuff is put out there. There's no photographs of George Washington. You know, they didn't have cameras at the time.
This was a contemporary drawing.
Yeah, and there was drawings, but you can draw anything. I could draw a picture of President Obama, you know, and I could put a Klan sheet on his head. You know, that wouldn't mean that President Obama was a member of the Ku Klux Klan. You know,
if I'm not mistaken, he was the Grand Master of Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Yeah, but like I said, there's some evidence, and not having it in front of me, I did read some articles that suggested that that was actually made up because they were wanting to promote Freemasonry, and they thought what better way to do it than to invent this history, and that it was actually made up after he died. Not having all that information, I really can't go that far much further with that.
But you don't feel that having a statue of him would be breaking the Second Commandment?
Only if you're going to worship him as a god, and I don't know any fundamentalists that do that. But we'll let it go at that, John. I got another caller calling in, and I appreciate your call tonight. And you can give us a call, too. You can call 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673 with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And we'll talk about just about any topic, I guess. And we've got another caller named John, only in Euclid. And we've got John in Euclid tonight. Are you there with us tonight?
Hello, Pastor Al.
Hey, John. Welcome. Glad to have you tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on the air. And you know, someone was sharing with me something today that a man named Waleed Shabbat had been sharing.
Right. And for those that are listening, Waleed Shabbat was a former Palestinian terrorist. I've read a couple of his books who got saved, and in one of his books, I actually heard him on the radio too, saying that he actually had an opportunity to share the gospel with Yasser Arafat. But back to your question there.
I guess participated in some terrorist activities, but before he was saved. But now he speaks a lot about Islam,
right?
And one of the things he mentioned is he believes the Antichrist will come out of Islam,
right? And there's a lot of people that believe that. There's even some books out there and some websites that address that issue, and there's a variety of reasons why. But go ahead.
Well, if you look at Psalm 83 and you see these nations that come against the land of Israel, they all seem to be nations that are dominated by Islam today.
Mm-hmm.
But more to the point, I think, in Revelation 20, and this is a scripture that he brought up, you know, having listened to him before, and someone called it to my attention again today, but in Revelation 20 and verse 4, tells about those that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast neither his image.
Right.
And I mean, it's interesting that the Bible says they were beheaded for the word of God. You know, there's other parts in Revelation where people were killed. You know, some were killed by the judgments of God, but others were persecuted and killed. But this particular verse says they were beheaded for the word of God.
Right, and a lot of people say that's because that's one of the ways that a lot of the fundamentalist Muslims will execute infidels such as you and I and people who reject Islam.
Right, exactly. It's that's pretty telling that it would seem, that seems to be at least nowadays, I mean, at one time that was used as a mode of execution with different people, but I mean, now Islam is still practicing that.
Yeah, the French Revolution, they invented the guillotine, and because they couldn't kill people fast enough, and they found that to be a quick, efficient means of killing people. Of course, the people involved in the French Revolution were not Muslims. And also, even in Paul's day, you know, in the New Testament day, the Romans executed people chopping their head off. So it's been a very common form of execution. I've seen some of these materials, and personally, I really am not convinced that the Antichrist is going to rise out of Islam unless Islam overtakes Europe. perhaps, because I still think he's going to come out of Europe. A number of these people who put this forward, they narrow the look at the nations that invade Israel in Ezekiel 38 to right immediately in the vicinity of the Middle East. They ignore Russia, they ignore Germany, they ignore, you know, people that are further away, such as potentially us and things like that. And I've seen some of that. I know David Hunt has had debates with Waleed Shobat on this very issue, and they're friends, and they agree to disagree on it. Psalm 83 is very interesting, but it appears that the main Islamic countries that are against Israel today, let's take Egypt, for instance. Egypt, the Bible talks about Egypt being destroyed. In Ezekiel chapter 29, verses 9 through 12, if you take a look at that, Ezekiel 29, verses 9 through 12, says that Egypt is going to be decimated for 40 years, and nobody will live there. The Egyptians won't even be there. They'll have to be living outside of Egypt. And I think what's going to happen personally, and I think we're seeing the foreshadowing of this right now with the events happening in the Middle East, I think that Israel's going to be backed into a corner, and we're going to see a limited nuclear exchange in the Middle East. And I think Israel is going to nuke Egypt, and I think they're going to attack Damascus. Isaiah 17 talks about Damascus falling, being totally destroyed, and the kingdom departing from Syria, which would mean Syria being destroyed. We also have Israel, like you said, in Ezekiel or in Psalm 83, destroying some of their enemies, and Obadiah talks about them being the house of Israel, or the house of Jacob, being a flame, and the house of Esau being the fire, and also talks about them destroying the fields of Ephraim and possessing the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria and Gilead, which would include the West Bank territories and Jordan. And I could go on and on. Mesopotamia is destroyed. People won't pass through it. We see a number of these things, and I think that we're seeing possibly the foreshadowing of that. And I think the Antichrist is going to rise after that. And the Ezekiel 38 battle is going to be the battle, the war that takes place in the unsealing of the second seal in Revelation chapter 6. And the Antichrist, of course, is going to form a covenant with the nation of Israel in Daniel chapter 9. I know I've given a lot of information out there, John, and trying to get something out pretty quick here, but yeah, I'm familiar with the idea that the Antichrist will be Islamic. He'll come out of one of the Middle Eastern countries, perhaps, things of that nature. There's good people who believe that. There's some good books and materials on that subject. I'm not convinced, though. I'm not going to rule it out, but I still believe that the Antichrist is going to come out of Europe, revive Roman Empire. He could be a Muslim out of Europe. I mean, Europe is fast-going Islamic. It's becoming Eurabia pretty quickly, and did you have anything else with that, John? Oh, I'm sorry. We lost our call. I guess he's gone. I thought he was still there with us, but that's all right. That's live with Pastor Al. That's our program. We're live. And I got waxing on about that. And I've told people before, handicaps, I guess, of being a pastor is you can start talking and then you can go into preaching mode, I guess, or teaching mode, and you just keep on talking. But try and get out some good information. Again, that's part of the purpose of our program. And if you've got a call, a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. We've got time on the clock, and we've got open spots on the board, and we'd love to hear from you. And this is one of the things that I think I enjoy doing. I think it's one of the things that makes the program better when we get callers, because I like to find out what's on your mind. I like to find out what people are thinking about. One of the reasons I do it, in addition to having the opportunity to help people and hopefully give some good biblical guidance and direction and help people develop a biblical worldview, this actually helps me in my role as a pastor and teacher of the Word of God, because it gives me information, gives me an idea of what people are wondering about. You know, one of the problems that you could run into as a pastor or as a teacher is you're focused on what you're doing, getting your next lesson together, getting your next message together, and you start looking at things that are interesting to you, and you lose track of what people are thinking. That's one of the things we like about our Friday night Bible study, because I don't bring the questions. People who come to the Friday night Bible study, we just enjoy a nice sort of laid-back, informal time. We've got refreshments and things of that nature, and we just give you a chance to be able to ask your questions, whatever, what's on your mind, what you're wondering about. We hear things in the world. We hear things on the radio. We hear things, and we wonder what's happening. And it's good to have a time just to come together and look into the Bible. And so hopefully we replicate that a small amount here on the radio with our Sunday night program here, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, each Sunday night at 11 o'clock, and also with Live with Pastor Al Friday afternoons at 1:30 to 2 p.m. And so we appreciate you listening. We appreciate your calls. And 888-677-9673, we can get you on the air here tonight. And it looks like we got somebody coming through. We'll get you up here on the board in just a moment. We have looks like Jerry calling in, I believe it is. And Jerry, are you with us?
Yes.
Hi. Welcome.
I didn't have a question, but I had a comment to make, mm-hmm. Being that you were talking about the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
I'm a boomer. I was in high school in the 70s, and so I really don't remember a lot of the things that changed. In my time, I've seen how bad things have gotten since then. But on Sunday, I think it was the HLN News, or I don't usually listen to that network,
but I'm not sure.
They were covering the story on Madeleine O'Hare.
Oh, yeah,
and her son and her granddaughter, that they disappeared, and I really forgot about her and didn't really, you know, remember anything happening to, you know, just that they sort of disappeared. And they covered all of that, and at first they thought they took off with the money and mm-hmm. just disappeared. And her one son is a born-again Christian.
That's right. In fact, she disavowed him, and she broke off all contact with him.
Right. And, well, when they disappeared, he wasn't too suspicious about that because they did some strange things. And so the only thing she had, I guess she had some, like, dogs that she was very fond of, and they found the dogs still in her house, and they just left everything, and so they looked into that. They started searching for them and ended up finding out that they had all been strangled and dismembered and buried somewhere.
I think they were actually packed into barrels. And which, you know, I mean, think about it. They believed, and people associated with her organization taught that when you die, you're gone. You cease to exist, and there's really no reason to pay any particular respects to the dead because they're gone. And mm-hmm. apparently it was her, if I remember correctly, it was the financial officer in their organization, American Atheists or whatever it was, that actually okay. stole the money and killed them and dismembered them and put them in the mm-hmm. barrels and buried them out on their farm or something like that. More not to give them proper funeral, but actually to get rid of the evidence. And mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. That's what happened to her. I've also heard from some other people, including her son, that I've heard in different things, saying that living and working in that organization was a horrible experience. She was not a pleasant woman to work with. Everybody was always on guard, worried about people backstabbing and everything else, because when you take away God, you take away the basis of morality. And, nobody wants somebody to go to, meet their end like she did. But one could argue that's a natural fruit of that type of teaching when you carry it out. So,
well, you know, in,
appreciate
the Bible where it talks about, I think it's in Psalms, one of the Psalms about the evil are not remembered, you know, and it's really, she wasn't remembered. Nobody thinks about her name and how somebody who is godly and by Billy Graham. I mean, no one will ever forget him. His name will go down in
history. But unfortunately, her heritage lives on. It's partly due to her heritage that we have these cases of people getting upset when they see the Ten Commandments. And it's through her, I believe the Bibles and prayer were brought out of the schools. But I appreciate that. I got another caller coming in. I want to squeeze in before the end of it. You have anything final you want to say there real quick?
I just wanted to say the one thing that I just really wanted to mention was that, you know, people think that one person can't really do anything. I mean, things are getting dramatically changed in America. And if you feel the urgency to do something, I really believe God has put us here to make a difference, and we're supposed to be, you know, vessels for Him, the use of Him.
Supposed to be salt and light in the world.
If one woman could do that much damage in our country, each one of us should be able to make a difference also.
That's right. Well, I appreciate that call, and thank you for listening, and I appreciate that. And we can make a difference. I mean, look at the small band of people that Jesus chose and how they changed the world. Well, appreciate that call, and we've got Keith in Canton yet waiting to weigh in here tonight. And Keith, are you there?
Yeah, Pastor, how you doing?
Hi, good. Welcome.
Praise the Lord. I came across, I was doing some research for a young person I was kind of ministering to, and came across a website, Rapture Forums.
Rapture Forums?
Yeah, R-A-P-T-U-R-E. forums.com, and if you look up in the prophecy section, they got some good lists, like 101 last day Bible prophecies, 101 scientific facts from the Bible, 100 facts about Jesus, and this is from Jim Tetlow, I believe.
Oh, okay.
A really good Christian man, and some really interesting insights from the Word of God, and I remember it mentioned about, in Job it talks about the Pleiades, you know, the
right, the stars, constellations
up there in the King James. It says, "Who can
I think
bind
loose the bands or bind
Pleiades,
them,
and who can unloose the bands of Orion?" Well, it's just been recently discovered that there's gravitational forces that hold the Pleiades stars together.
That's right.
In Orion, the stars are kind of flying apart.
Yeah, and it's amazing when you see scientific truths like that in the Bible, and things that, how would they have known that unless God revealed it to them? And there's a lot of good evidence for the inspiration of the Word of God in that. And that's why.
And I remember also hearing some time ago about in the Old Testament there was a scripture where the Lord would thresh the mountains chaff and wheat, and that can be done a lot of different ways, but you know, that could be a picture of nuclear weapons right there, you know.
Well, and the Bible talks in Isaiah about God stretching out the heavens, and you know, most physics believe that the heavens are being stretched. I mean, the substance of space is stretching out, and here it is in Isaiah 44 and verse number 24, and it says that He stretches out the heavens and all of that. And then, of course, the Bible says that He makes a way for the lightning of the thunder, and they didn't discover that until, I think, in the 60s with the advent of high-speed photography. They sent up a rocket trailing a wire to try and spark a lightning strike and found that the first strike comes up from the ground, and it prepares the way for the bolt that you see to come down to the ground. How would they have known that without high-speed photography? And, well, there's a lot like that in the Bible, Keith, and I appreciate that website that you gave us, and hope people get a chance to check that out and see what that is, raptureforums.com. And more importantly, hope that you'll get into your Word, into the Bible, study it, pray, ask God to help you understand it. Join us again next week, and also join us Friday. Good night. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.